what proposed by the Baba Varebi in the art scroll. It's on page 384. Kuf Tzadik on the paperback. 627 in the Ravs. If anybody is using a different version of Kino, so we have photocopies of it here on the Bima that we'll pass around so you could follow along. So many people say, and as many Rabbanim have mentioned over the course of their presentation of Kinos, so here's the Holocaust Kino, at least here is something that we could relate to. And I understand why we say things like that, because most people know a survivor, or maybe have even been on a trip to Poland, or we've seen the place where the camps are, where the destruction happened. But I raised the question about whether relating to it is really the word that we want to use, or if it's just something that we could say has been a more recent tragedy. As we go through the Kinner, Primo Levi stated that you need a different vocabulary when discussing the Holocaust, because when you say a word like starving, so when the Baba Rebbe writes, whose whole family got wiped out in the Holocaust, when he writes, Barabba Batsama in the third line, so hunger doesn't mean like we're hungry today, we haven't eaten since last night. Hunger means that they hadn't eaten in days and weeks. Maybe they are subsisting on putrid coffee and potato peels. And they're so hungry that their stomach was eating itself because that was the only thing available. Where a survivor testified that when they saw one of their parents, for the first time after moments of separation, they didn't see a parent, but they saw a potential of a food. So is that something that we actually could relate to? And I wonder if that's the pshat and why the Rebbe starts the kinnah with zichruna. Please remember. What do you mean, please remember? We live in an age where there's so much Holocaust denial, and everybody's like, God, they're so crazy. How can they actually deny the Holocaust? It's so ridiculous. But maybe the point is not a Holocaust denial and not the fact that we wouldn't remember the Holocaust, but zichruna. Is that we need to reflect a little bit and look inside ourselves and ask whether we are paying note, maybe even a little bit of tribute to or commemoration to what they went through, or whether we're actually putting ourselves in a place of and feeling what they suffered through. To have to make a choice. The parents have to make a choice. When a Nazi says, I'll let one of your children live, and you have to choose who that child is going to be. I remember that this point was driven home to me when we're talking to a survivor about his ride in the cattle car. For forever, I thought that the cattle car was terrible. They stuffed 100, 150, 180 people into a cattle car where the temperature in the cattle car during the summer was indescribably burning hot. And you think that you're going in a cattle car and it's so bad because they're on their way to meet their death. What's that feeling like? But only to realize, as he described, that most of the car was already dead by the time that they got to Treblinka and Sobibor, Belzec and Auschwitz. And on top of that, besides all the death that was in the cattle car itself, the Greek Jews had to spend 11 days in the cattle car when they're on their way to Auschwitz. And in the cattle car, so there was no bathroom. What does that mean when you're on your way to your death in a burning hot cattle car with your family dying around you and the only place to go to the bathroom was a bucket for the 180 people that were in there? What exactly is that existence? And that, to me, opened up the door to that we can't relate to and we can't understand what exactly they went through, because the more that I do research for the tragic privilege that I have of leading tours to Poland, the more stories that I read, so the more we realize that we have no clue about what happened. That those who were exterminated, their bodies were burned in the ovens. But so many stories of the Sonderkommando, what it was like to be a Sonderkommando, and have to burn bodies, let alone burn bodies that you realize when you open up your eyes that might be bodies of your families, and that's how you find out that they were no longer amongst the living. And let alone the bodies that they were forced to burn that weren't yet dead. The Karam Shema Yisrael Masru Nafshem LaDonei Adonim. Adonim. Adolf Eichmann was interviewed before he was murdered, after he was captured, and he commented that in order to exterminate Jews, so he did a lot of research on Judaism and a lot of research on Israel and the holidays. They were experts on the calendar. The first day that there was a transport to Treblinka, and this new way of killing, as the kid is going to say later on, in strange ways of death. First day, the first transport left on Tisha B'Av, 1942, to go to Treblinka. That was the beginning of the extermination of Warsaw, which was the second largest Jewish community at the time. It went from 500,000 people in the ghetto to about 70 in a matter of months. Eichmann said they knew the days. They knew Yom Kippur, they knew Pesach, they knew Tisha B'Av, they knew Shabbos. And those are the days that Jews chose to have some kind of action. And the interviewer said that he heard that Eichmann knew Hebrew. Eichmann learned Hebrew in Hungary. He hired a melamed to teach him Hebrew so he could better understand what better way to wipe out Jews than to be able to speak their language. And he asked Eichmann to say a line in Hebrew, and Eichmann said Shema Yisrael, and he said properly Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Not like sometimes that we see on television when they make a Baruch and they don't really care if they say the words right. Adolf Eichmann said the line exactly the way that any of us would have said it. So the interviewer shocked, asked him, "Wow, that's pretty good. You learned that from the Malami. Where did you get that from?" Eichmann said, "No, that line wasn't a Malami. That line was when I went to view the work that we were doing, and I went by gas chambers and I went by the mass graves. So I heard this line thousands and thousands of times. The Karam Shema Yisrael, that before they met their death." Our grandparents and great-grandparents, so they all said Shema Yisrael as they died with the name of Hashem on their lips. Could we relate to something like that? Inuyim Kashim, with tortures. When we got to Maidanek, one time a guy took off his shoes, he walked in the snow. So the tour guy asked him, "What are you doing?" He said, "I want to try to feel what they were feeling." Can't feel what they were feeling. In Maidanek, that's a place where they made people stand barefoot. On the entrance area in Maidanek is called the Rose Garden. It's a lump shot in the Rose Garden. And Maidanek is because they made people stand barefoot on the ice until their feet were attached to the ground. And when they made them walk to the gas chamber, so then the layer of skin on their feet ripped off, so the snow was speckled with blood. And a place in Maidanek where, as Rabbi Kamenetsky said, where Anton Thurman tied people to his motorcycle and drove them around Field 3 in Maidanek until there were X's of blood across the field. So that's something that we could relate to. But the same way that maybe we can't really relate to the Holocaust, maybe that's the same way with the Churban Beis Hamikdash, is that we know that something terrible has happened. Maybe if one of us ever had the feeling to imagine if there wouldn't be 6 million people that were exterminated. So what would Judaism look like today? Can you imagine Eretz Yisrael that had 6 million plus 100 years worth of Jews? How splendid Torah would be with all the Torah giants, I mean the Chachamim, all the people that were exterminated. So how much more so if we take the thousands of years since Churban Beis Hamikdash of all the Jews and all the men, women, and children, what they would have turned the world into. All of this, just the people itself and the Torah and the letters that they would have brought, that's what we lost by Churban Beis Hamikdash. So Abeinu B'Shamayim, we look up to the Shemayim and we say every Monday and Thursday, and perhaps this alone is reason to not hope that we don't get to say Monday, Thursday, Tachnun, but we should embrace Monday, Thursday, Tachnun. And through all this, we're here, we might be sitting on the floor, but we are saying the Kinos, and we are trying to introspect and find a way to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Na'al Tishkachinu, Be'ezus Hashem, he won't forget us either, and we'll be Zochah to be Vavienu L'Tzion V'Yerushalayim.